fact, that'll be the last time you see that video as we have gone through the book of Colossians. So, Faith, you did a great job on that. Thank you. I'm going to miss that video. In fact, I'm going to put it on my computer just so I can watch it, just to kick off my day. It's great to see everybody on this beautiful Mother's Day. And, hey, it feels like spring again, actually. And it's beautiful outside. So enjoy your day. We're finishing the book of Colossians by going to the book of Matthew. I know that makes no sense in the natural, but Matthew, something that Jesus did through his parables, he puts a bow on it that fits perfectly with the book of Colossians. Before we go there, I do want to take a moment. We're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for our country. One thing I want to say before we do it, I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the internet world, the World Wide Web, and social media, and podcast world about aliens and about the release and disclosure and all that. And so let me just give you from my heart, a very clear word, and I'm going to be nice when I say it, but it's bull. It's just family. Do not get worked up about this stuff. Anytime you see this level of a psyop in terms of media and all this fanfare, it's like this. When somebody says, look over here, you need to be looking over there, over there. There's something else going on. Typically, when you get something of this level, where we've got video and documentation, and yeah, there's aliens and little green men flying around in orbs and spaceships, here's what happens is people get really worked up, they get scared, they get nervous, and what this is, it literally is this idea. When you see this kind of thing happen, and it gets heightened in entertainment and media, and by the way, media, even news media, is basically entertainment these days because there's not a lot of truth there. So what happens is it's setting something up. It's, we got midterm elections coming. We've got all kinds of political gameplay going on. We've got a war going on the other side of the earth. It's not a war today, but it is tomorrow. And then after that, it won't be. So, I mean, we've got all that going on, this back and forth. And then also, just so happens, on the heels of this disclosure, there's a movie coming out by Steven Spielberg called Disclosure. So, guys, this is the world we live in. It's a world of entertainment and psyops. So don't get spun up about this. At the end of the day, we're not talking about extraterrestrials, or we're not talking about extra-dimensional. We're talking about interdimensional. I have to say that real fast three times. Thank you, Greg Laurie. There are things going on in our world, but we already know this. The Bible has been clear that there is another world at work. There's another kingdom at work. We know that there's our kingdom. We know we're citizens of another kingdom, not even this one. We're here on our own kinds of cards, for temporary. But here's the thing. There is another dark, nefarious kingdom. This is not news to we who are in Christ. It's not news that there's going to be things, there's going to be deceptions. There's going to be things that are trying to get you to look over here, pay attention over here, watch over here. There's a new great hope happening over here. There's a new thing here. That's always going to be there, and it always has been. And so do not take the bait. John Bevere wrote a book called The Bait of Satan, and that can be applied on a lot of levels, and this is one of them right here. Do not take the bait. Do not go out at night with a telescope and start looking for in the skies. This is about like what happened with the drones over New York City. I mean, family, it's a psyop, and they're trying to get us to take the bait. Don't. Be a critical thinker. Don't let podcasters and other people, and I'm a podcaster, don't let anybody else do your thinking for you. Do not co-opt your thinking, especially your critical thinking. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, think for yourself. Amen. We want to be wise. We want to be discerning. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray real quickly for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, in Jesus' name, Psalm 122, verse 6 says that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So even now, we pray for the shalom of Jerusalem, the shalom, the peace of Israel, Father, and the Middle East, Father. And even with that sweet Persian man that Annette and I met the other day, Lord, we speak peace over the Persian people, the Iranians, Father, who are are upset and are not a part of what is happening, and they don't want it, and they long for the days before 1979 when the revolution came, and they long for the days that Iran will go back to being a free nation. So, Lord, just like for him and others, we pray for them. When we pray for the salvation of the Middle East, Lord, that Jesus, you will continue to show yourself strong. We pray that all would come to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is our prayer and our heart for them. Pray for our America, for revival. Pray for faith, for family, and for freedom in our country. And Father, we pray for our president and his cabinet, Lord, that they will make wise decisions and not themselves fall prey to these psyops, Lord. So we pray for peace. We pray for shalom. We pray for revival and spiritual awakening across our land. In Jesus' name, before we say amen, we're going to say the Lord's model prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated. Okay, we're landing the plane on Rooted. We're calling this Rooted Deep and Living Strong. What happens is the book of Colossians being the mini book of Romans. It's the highlight reel of the book of Romans. Romans being Paul's most deep and extensive theological work. I mean, if you just read through the book of Romans, you're going to be swimming in a lot of deep waters. It's brilliant, and it really shows his thinking and his mindset. But the book of Colossians, I'll just say, however, the book of Colossians in comparison are the same principles but distilled down into very practical things. So it's the practical handbook. If you ever get something, we got some new garage door opener the other day. I pull out the instructions, and it says, easy startup. Now, I've got a manual that's that thick and 80 pages of a PDF online, but I've got a three-page fold-out that says, easy startup. Where do you think I'm going to go? The easy startup, I mean, for sure. And it's like, you know, 8 steps to get this thing going, and I'm on step 3 now, and I started yesterday. So we're working on it. Hopefully today I'll get this thing working. It's got a camera built into it. Of course, you got to get on Wi-Fi. It's just like, and charge batteries and all that. So, but here's the thing. Colossians is that fold out. It's that easy start here. And here's your QR code to take you to the deeper place. But I love what Jesus did when he would go along and he would speak in stories and parables. Parables are stories with a point. They're stories that are to teach us something. And they're usually multi-layered. So when you read a parable, there may be a lot of different things. There'll be things for the people that were current, that right where they were in their context. When Jesus said, look at the birds of the air, or a city set on a hill. And he's always using things around him to tell stories and point out spiritual truths. It's no different in this one out of Matthew, where he's talking about these four soils. And these four soils are actually a metaphor for four different kinds of people and the receptivity or non-receptivity of the heart. And so we talked about the first. In fact, let me give you just a big idea here as we start this. We already did the first two out of the four last week. And so I got right into it. Cass was already up on the platform playing. I was like, we're landing the plane here. So we're finishing today. And I want to show you something here. And I want to ask a question as we get started. Ask yourself this question. What kind of soil am I? You know, when people speak things to you, if you've ever had somebody say something disparaging to you or just dark or mean-spirited, you have an option right here, and you can either receive the seed of that negative word into the soil of your heart, or you can literally turn your hand over, drop it to the ground, and keep on going. Actually, years ago, I learned this, and I don't even remember where I saw this, but someone did this in a message or something, and it stuck with me. But it was this, that when someone says something to you or about you, you have a choice. You can take the seed in your hand that was just given to you, and you can place it into the soil of your heart, and it will grow, and it will bear fruit. It will bring forth a harvest, and we're not talking about a good harvest and good fruit. Or you can take that seed, and you can turn your hand over and walk away. There have been many times since that through the years where I've walked away from a conversation. And you know what I did? Is I've showed you this before, but a lot of you weren't here. I literally walked off. I had my hand out like this, and I did this, and I just kept walking. Why? Because I was not going to take that seed, that bad seed, into my heart. Does that make sense? Jesus is talking about four kinds of hearts, four kinds of soils, four kinds of people in this parable. And I want to start by just reading the first part so we get the context. So I'm going to start in Matthew 13, verse 1. And I know, Michael, you got a lot going back there. So try to stay up. And if not, just listen to it right here. Listen to this, Matthew 13. And this is the hardened heart. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. He created an amphitheater, basically. So they're up on the bank. He's out on the boat just a little bit, and he's letting the breeze of the wind coming off of the lake carry his voice. Then he told them many things in parables. There they are, stories with a point. Saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. In verse 19, he actually defines what happened. He tells his story, and the disciples are going, I'm not sure that I got that. Jesus, could you clarify what you mean by that? And in verse 19, he picks it back up. He says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, so the seed is the message of the kingdom. We would call that the gospel or the word of God. He says this, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, it doesn't go in, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So the seed fell on a long, hard path, and then it was snatched up. It was taken away so it could never take root. That means that's an impermeable or a hardened heart, and that's what we call that, the hardened heart. The second point we made last week was this. It was another kind of heart, and it's called the shallow heart. So listen to this. That means these people are quick to respond, but they're also quick to retreat. So listen to this, Matthew 13, 5. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. So you get the point. It fell along rocky soil. There's a rocky path. There's very little soil, just enough for the seed to germinate and start to grow, but it had no root, so it didn't last. Here Jesus defines it himself in Matthew 13, 20. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. So he heard it, and it was good. He or she, they heard it, and they received it, and like, yeah, that's good. Wow, that resonates with me. That makes sense to me. But look what happens. Verse 21, but since he has no root, someone say no root. Since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. So you see the story here. Jesus says, look, this one got it. They got excited. They were lit up over it. They were, man, on fire. Have you ever met people like this? They're super on fire, higher than a kite. They're on the mountaintop. Man, they're living the dream. Everything's great. And then 3 weeks later, you don't find them. You can't see them. They're gone. And when you run into them, they're like, oh, yeah, I got excited. I know. Yeah. Then life happened. And then persecution happened. He says they only last a short time because trouble came. Persecution came because of that word, because of that excitement. Here's what you need to understand. When you get excited about Jesus, you need to understand not everybody outside these walls is going to be excited about you being excited about Jesus. We sort of have this idea that if I'm happy, everybody around me is going to celebrate it. Family, that's not the case. I remember when I went to my dad as a brand new Christian, talk about on fire, 19 years of age. Woo, man, Jesus came into my life. I mean, everything changed. I changed trajectories. I changed directions. I changed the path. I mean, my entire future changed before my eyes when I said yes to Jesus. And I go to my dad, and I'm thinking, my dad is going to be so happy for me. He's going to be so excited. I go to my dad. I said, Dad, I got Jesus, man. And he's like, okay, what do you mean by that? And I said, man, I got saved. I gave my heart to Christ. I feel like I'm a new person. I can't even explain it. It's like I feel lighter. I'm excited. And he goes, well, just don't get too fanatical. I said, too late, Dad. I'm already there. And you know what my dad needed to see in me? Consistency. See, if I had been the shallow-hearted kind of guy, a few weeks will pass, and then I'm defaulting back to old behaviors, old patterns, old ways of doing life. But instead, my dad has watched for nearly 50 years me walk with Jesus. Perfect? No. Well, thank you. That's kind of you. I haven't done it perfectly, but only one did that on the planet. You know what I mean? His name's Jesus. But we're moving forward. Even when I fall, I read a book by Charles Swindoll many years ago called Failing Forward. Or maybe it's John Maxwell, I think. Failing Forward, man. If you're going to fall, gain some yardage out of it. You know what I mean? And so I've done that my whole life, and Dad has watched that. And now, man, he's asked me to pray for him. He's used code language. Christian code language has come up in conversations, like blessed, like, yeah, I had a blessed day. I'm like, whoa, wait, who's this? This is the man who told me not to be fanatical, and now he's talking like me. But he's watched me for 50 years walk with Jesus. And guys, sometimes it's just that consistency. It's going to be the ministry to those around you. So the shallow heart. Now, third one, we're going to move forward. This one's called the crowded heart. The crowded heart, and it's choked by competing voices. So listen to this in Matthew 13:7. Jesus continues the story. He says, other seed, this is the third kind, other seed fell among thorns. It fell among thorns, which grew up, and the thorns choked the plants. He explains it later in verse 22. He says, the one who received the seed that fell among thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. So did you see the two things? The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it and make it unfruitful. That seed that has fallen among thorns. Guys, Jesus made no bones about this. He said, if you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. Trouble will come. Oh, you'll have the ability to navigate it. You'll have the ability to rise above it. You'll have the ability to walk over it, but it's still going to happen. When Jesus talked about the parable, he told another parable about a house that was built on a sandy, you know, a sandy soil and not a solid foundation. And he said, and when the storm came, when the wind blew, not if the storm comes or if, but when. Family, it's not about if, it is when. And the beauty of it is if your roots are down in good soil, not in shallow soil, not sown among thorns, not just fallen on a hard, rocky, you know, path or a hard path, when the soil is good, the plant will be good too. And that's not the case here. It was the worries of this life choked out the word. So as a young Christian, brand new in faith, and I'm on fire for Jesus, I had the pleasure in the first 6 months of being a Christian of watching my first church split. Man, wow. That was interesting. Talk about study in sociology. I mean, and psychology. It was wild. They put a microphone up at the front of the church. Remember, I'm a brand new Christian, but I am on fire. I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm on an upward trajectory with Jesus. And I watched this. It was on a Wednesday night, and there was a business meeting. I should have known something was up when the church was packed on a Wednesday night. Boy, they had got the word out, and I watched them roast this pastor. I didn't know anything about their life. I liked his family. They were wonderful to me, and I saw people just be one after another come up to a microphone and say horrible things. And I remember the youth group. I was part of a college/youth group that was really substantial. It was big. They helped me get my foundations. And I remember how many of the youth, when that went down, how many of them fell away? And I remember asking, there's a couple of girls in the youth group that I'd connected to, and I had some old friends from school that I were in that group as well. And I remember talking to them, and I remember going to one of them who fell away after that. I said, "Why are you falling away?" "Well, do you see what they did to him?" And I said, "Yeah, they did." And she said, "The church did that." I said, "No, people did that." I was a brand new Christian. I had at least the understanding of people do stupid stuff. People can be mean, but that doesn't mean the church did it. Somebody did it. Does that make sense? You got to keep that separate in your mind. And I remember they left, and they were the ones that discipled me into the youth group. And I was like looking up to them as my models. And here I am saying, no, you're looking at the wrong thing. Because here's the deal. When I went all in with Jesus, I went all in with Jesus. The bride happened to be there too, so I'm thinking, man, if this is Jesus' bride, then I better like her too, you know what I mean? Even with all of her bumps and bruises. I'm talking about the church family. I hope you're with me. Talking about the church. Even with our bumps and bruises, I'm like, man, if Jesus loves her, then I'm going to love her too. Irregardless of what culture says. And so I just remember talking to these young people saying, hey, man, I'm not leaving. I'm not running away. And I didn't. And I'm so glad God gave me just the presence of mind to stick and stay. And listen, I continued to thrive there and did well there and grew there. But I stuck it out. I didn't quit. But I'll never forget watching people fall away because of difficulty, because of persecutions, because of trouble. The worries of this life crowded them out. And I remember seeing one of those girls probably a year later, and she was drunker than a skunk driving around in her car. And I remember thinking, what? This is the one who helped me get my footing. And now she's completely walked away from it all because of a handful of people. Does this make sense, family? That is being sown among thorns. Now, I'm assuming nobody in here are the first three. See, 75% out of 100% are bad soil. But let's look at the last, the 25%. Couple of things on this, in terms of this. It's not always bad things that get us tripped up. It's just too many things. It's busy things, lots of things. Thorns are things like worries, wealth, and desires. It's a call for pruning. Nobody enjoys pruning themselves, but when God prunes us, it actually produces good growth. And it's not a rejection of the word. These people weren't saying, I don't want the word. They received it, but it's a complete distraction from it. And family, I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, I was talking about in the book of Colossians, and one of the points was kill it. I don't remember a lot, but I remember this, kill it. You got to kill the things that are killing you. And family, there's some things we need to kill in our lives that are distracting us and taking us out of the game, so to speak. Here's a key idea. What you allow to grow alongside the word will determine what survives. Because if we let things of this world, these worries, these things that crowd out, these things that push out the good things of God, they'll eventually, like thorns, like a thicket growing around a fence post, they'll choke it out. So here's the key question for this one. What's crowding out God in my life right now? We had the pleasure of watching a new movie that's out. It's called A Great Awakening. And it's about George Whitefield and Benjamin Franklin. It's a great movie. I highly recommend it. But I remember listening to this guy, the actor, portraying George Whitefield preaching with such fire and passion. I mean, the man died at 55 years of age. He literally worked himself into the ground, basically preached until he couldn't. And I was really moved by that and touched by that. And I'm like, what is it going to take for us as the church in America to wake up? Well, for one, it's going to be us being the right kind of soil so that when the word comes, when the message comes, it lands in the right place. And it's actually sown into the soil of our lives. So what's crowding out God in my life right now? Here's the last soil. We'll land with this. And it's the receptive heart. And the receptive heart is cultivated for multiplication. In other words, you'll see this in the end as we read it. Matthew 13:8, Jesus says this, still other seeds. So this is the fourth time. Still other seed fell on good soil. Someone say good soil. I don't know about you, but I want to be good soil, don't you? I want to know when to take bad seed and drop it to the ground and take the good seed of God's word, his message, and the kingdom and plant it in my heart. I want to be able to discern the difference. I want to be good soil. It says where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. There's the multiplication factor. Matthew 13:23, Jesus defines what this parable says. He says, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So listen to that. He hears the message and he understands it. He hears the message and comprehends. I can't comprehend something I'm unwilling to receive. So when it comes my way, I have to say, I'll take that. I mentioned this last week, that I'll take that thing. Somebody walking out the door walked over to me and went, I'll take that. As they're walking out, I'm like, you got it, you got it. But there's this attitude of when I hear the word sown, Annette and I, we're nerds, we're such church nerds, that we'll go home today and probably put on preaching something. We'll watch Josh Allerton or somebody. What did they do today? Or Alan Jackson. What did he teach on today? Or Jack Gibbs. What did he teach on? And we'll pull something up and watch it. But here's the deal. As we're watching it, we're saying out loud in our living room, I mean, we're like an audience of two. We're going, amen. Oh, that's a good word. Oh, we better stay on that. Oh, man, that's good preaching right there. I'll take that. What is that? That is trying to be good soil. That's taking the truth that's coming your way and saying, I'll take that. I'll receive that. You know, the Bible talks about the power of agreement. When two on earth agree as touching anything, he says, I will literally be there in their midst. So when, thank you for saying that's right. Is that Emily? Who is that? I had to be. Okay, it had to be. So listen to this. As you speak, what she's doing is she's in agreement. And she's basically saying, I'll take that. I receive that. I'm with that. What is that? That's being in agreement. And when you're in agreement, oh, man, God shows up, family. The power of agreement, the power of alignment. So align yourself with the good message that's coming and then say, I'll take that. Yeah, amen, amen. Good soil produces a lot of good fruit, not just hearing, but understanding and obeying. If you be willing, is good, but if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land, Isaiah tells us. The goal is not just information, but transformation and multiplication. So it's about us actually being willing to say, I'll take that and I want that to change me from the inside out. I receive it. I receive that word by faith. See, what you should be doing right now, if I was sitting in your seat and I was hearing this, I would be hearing this scripture and I'd be saying, amen, amen, yeah, I'll take that. Oh, it's a good word. I receive that. Pastor Rich, he's always like, wow, wow. Whenever you preach, I'll hear him, wow. That's his way of saying, I'm in agreement with that. Wow. So every once in a while, we'll do that. Other churches we've been a part of, you'll hear stuff like, champ, champ. Man, yeah, come on. Oh, that's good. That's good. What is that? That's agreement. That's somebody entering in, and every church has its own culture. We need to figure out ours. We need to figure out ours and just say it out loud. Don't be ashamed to agree with your voice. What do you say good stuff? All champ, thank you, man. Thank you, Big Faith. Where's Big Faith over there? Who's Big Faith? Big Faith was another one. Big Faith, champ. What you always say, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. When Naomi says that's good, I feel good. I'm like, yeah, that was a good word. So we have these things we say. It sounds silly, but family, what we're doing, we're entering into alignment and agreement. What? We're being good soil. We're just simply taking it in. That's another way to take it in. So I want you to pick a word right now.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Now, when we were in our church in Abilene, we were multicultural, so it was got loud sometimes. I mean, Miss Angel Bradbury stand up on the corner over there, she'd shout me down. She'd take her finger and say, "You better preach." And she meant it. And boy, I did. It fired me up. I went stronger. I mean, they knew how to wind me up. This little white boy preaching in this church, and they were so much fun. But you know what we did? We were in alignment. We were in agreement, and we were being good soil. We're receiving something into our heart. Amen? See, we white people, we can do an amen. That's kind of safe for white people. Amen. Amen, amen, Pastor. Just don't get too excited, you know. Amen. It's respectable. But I kind of like the wilder stuff. Oh, my gosh. Y'all better stop. It's time to stop. It's almost, you're going to make me keep going. Oh, that feels good, I'm going to say. Healthy soil doesn't just receive, it reproduces. Healthy soil doesn't just receive. Amen. It reproduces. It reproduces. It keeps going. It that seed gets in, and then it starts to multiply 30, 60, 100-fold inside your spirit. And then you're leaking out everywhere you go because you get bigger on the inside than you're on the outside. This life happens when you're good soil. When you're good soil, you can receive the good word, and it literally begins to multiply your impact wherever you go. It multiplies your witness. It multiplies your effectiveness for the kingdom. I'm not saying it also might, I'm just going to be real, it might just multiply the resistance. Because when you are walking with God, you are moving and you're creating resistance. And so the bigger you get on the inside, the more resistance you'll catch. But that means you're probably over the target. And if you're not just over the target, you just might be the target. Amen? Sometimes we are. Here's the key question. Is my life producing fruit that impacts others? Listen, family, there's a gospel seed, a good news seed inside of us. And right now, we can receive that into our heart right here in this moment and say, I take that. I'm taking that for myself. I'm receiving that because by faith, I make a declaration today. I am good soil. I am good soil. I am good soil. I will receive the good word, and it will bring forth a harvest. It will multiply in me. How that's going to work itself out, I don't know, but I trust God. What's it going to look like? I have no idea, but I trust Him because He already knows what it's going to look like. So I, by faith, am going to receive that good word, and I'm going to walk it out in the name of Jesus. Now, what did I just do? Yeah, amen, amen. What did I just do? I'm trying to help you do that. That's the idea. Sometimes we have to say things by faith before we see them happen. That's called walking by faith and not by sight. And that means if that's something you desire, you want to be more effective, you want to grow in your faith, but you may not even know where to start. Start with a word of faith. Start by saying, in the name of Jesus, I am good soil. And because I'm good soil, God's word, Jesus Himself said that when I receive the word of God, it's going to multiply in me 30, 60, 100-fold. By faith, I know, I trust, and I believe it's already working. It's already happening. It's already multiplying in me. What am I doing? I'm stating and declaring by faith that the good word is going to produce a good harvest. Amen? Listen, that's not complicated. You don't even have to be brilliant to do this. I'm just saying, just be in faith and declare the goodness of God over your life, even in the middle of your worst circumstances. In fact, that's where you need to do it the most. Because there are people sitting here today, and you're in a rough spot right now, and you're thinking, man, I wish I had that kind of faith. I wish I could remember what he just said. I mean, I don't have that language and that vocabulary. Listen, it happens by practicing. And let me just clarify something for you. Practice does not make perfect. That is a lie. Practice does make permanent. Let me say it again. Amen. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. And because I've said these things and declared them over my lives, they're rutted into my gray matter like a record. And it's like, okay, I can call that up when I need it. Because family, I'm just like you. You may think pastors get a pass on life. We get a pass on trouble. We get a pass on difficulty. We get a pass on people talking about us and gossiping about us. No, we're a lightning rod for this stuff. Why? Because we're the ones trying to declare the word. We're trying to declare the gospel, and that makes us a target. So here's the deal. I need to be good seed. I need to be good soil so that the good seed of God's word can get in me and produce what it produces. And here's what's beautiful. It produces, not me. It produces. The seed produces. It just does what a seed does. And like seed bears like fruit. So whatever seed I receive, that's the kind of plant I'm going to get. That's the kind of tree that's going to grow. And I'm receiving the good word of God. Whatever that word is, whatever that topic is, whatever it is, it's going to produce that in my life and out of my life. Does that make sense? Is this helping anybody today? Come on. At least you learned how to talk back in church. I mean, that's a big help. Hey, if you're a guest here today, I want you to go back to your home church and do that. Please. Please. We need to shake some things up. Amen. I have a feeling heaven's not going to be quiet. I've read the book of Revelation. There's nothing quiet about it. It's one big celebration. So you better get used to it. Why not start now? Amen? So here's the question again. What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil are you? If you identified with any of those three besides the good soil, all you need to do is repent. It's not complicated. It's simply turn and go the other way. It's say, Lord, I'm turning my face toward you. I'm turning my back on that, but I'm looking toward you. I am going to, by faith, be good soil. In fact, I declare, Lord Jesus, by faith, I'm good soil. I'm good soil. I'm going to trust you to develop that in me. You do it by faith. And you turn towards him. That's repentance. Turning towards him. We think repentance is turning away. It's actually turning toward. It's facing him. Say, I'm coming for you, Lord. And I thank you that you're making me good soil. You're making a good heart. So what kind of soil am I? Here's the other one. Soil can change. That's what I want you to know. So I'm trying to tell you, soil can change. You do not have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay thorny. You don't have to stay rocky. You don't have to be a hard path where nothing grows. You can be good soil by turning towards him. So just in just landing, I want to encourage you. God is always sowing seed our way. Always. He's just looking for the hearts and the soil that's ready to grow. My question for you, are you ready to grow? I'm ready to grow and go. You know what I mean? I want to grow, but I want to go too. Amen? Can you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to ask Pastor Brian if he'll come out here and close us in prayer. Thanks, brother.
I'd like to invite our altar prayer team, if you guys would go ahead and come on up as we pray here. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I want you to think on this as we pray. The Lord says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, he says, so will my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void or useless or without effect. So here's the question as we pray. How is God's word going to return to him? It's going to return to him out of your mouth when you come into agreement with what he says about you. He says, when you come into agreement with me, he says, then my word will not be without power. It will not be without effect. So let's agree with him in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we don't just want to be those who hear the word. Lord, we want to be those who hear it, who understand it, who comprehend it, who agree with you, and who step into alignment with you by faith right now. And we choose to do that right now in our hearts, in the soil of our hearts, whatever that condition might be. Lord, we turn to you right now in agreement. We speak out with our mouths what you have already spoken to us, God. Lord, we agree with you that we are called, that we are chosen, that we are holy in Jesus Christ, that we are blameless, that we are forgiven, that we are without reproach, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we are healed in Jesus' name. Lord, that we are not those who are under the dominion of sin any longer, but that we are free in Christ Jesus. We agree with you, not with our own minds, not with this world, not with others, God. We agree with you and you alone. And we say, have your way in our hearts. God, I pray right now that you would change the soil types of our hearts, that you would make us good soil as we shift in alignment and we move towards you in faith this morning. God, we ask you to do in our hearts what only you can do. And we trust you to do that good work. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' holy name. And God's people said, amen. Can you praise him one more time this morning? Before you go, I want to say this again. We've got amazing people that want to pray with you. And if you need your faith lifted in anything this morning, these guys know how to lift your faith and come into agreement as you agree with God. So don't miss the opportunity to have somebody pray with you this morning. Otherwise, we love you. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you next week. Have a great day.